The title for consideration today is The Tree of Your Life. The Tree of Your Life. Now we're going to use the metaphor that's given to us in the scriptures, the tree metaphor, and it's a metaphor for building a godly life. Now I have 7 points that will summarize my entire discourse, and they are as follows. Number one, trees are a metaphor for people in the Bible. Number two, trees teach us lessons about our life. Number three, the Bible teaches us to plant our tree or our life by the water of truth. And then we are to make a consecration to God with our life. Then we are to transform our life with the graces of the Spirit. Then we are to watch the fruit of the Spirit develop in us as a result. And then we are to use our unique gifts of the Spirit to nurture others. Now, the text for our consideration is Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. One of my favorite Psalms. It reads like this in the King James. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, this scripture indicates that the tree is a metaphor for our life. And the key to good spiritual health is to prevent spiritual disease before it happens. And we may learn how to do this from the tree's ecology, its placement close to water, its strength, and its fruitfulness. Now, there's a couple of key phrases in this scripture of Psalm chapter 1 that I think are very powerful. How about this one? Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, our world, especially today, is full of ungodliness, sinners, scornful. And our world is a place where the lust of the flesh rules the actions of people who seem to have a never-ending need for excitement. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's part of what we're to do. Here's the next phrase I really like. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Instead of walking in the counsel of the ungodly, instead of needing excitement in our daily life that the world offers, let us be satisfied with serving our Heavenly Father. Let us post his words on the doorposts of our home. And let us write his words on the tables of our heart. Let God's law be our fondest desire in a troubled world. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. That's Psalm chapter 46, 1. And then verse 3, it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. You know, we have self-determination. We have the ability to place our tree by that water. And when we do, we are continuously fed and we're nourished if we delight in the law of the Lord. If we plant our lives by the water of God's word. Now, I'd like to share 2 key scriptures in the Bible where God and Jesus use the tree as a metaphor for building a godly life. The first one is the humbling of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we find this in Daniel chapter 4. Now, we're only going to read two verses. We're only going to read Daniel chapter 4, verse 20 through 22. And this is the interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream by Daniel. And this is, these are Daniel's words to King Nebuchadnezzar. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. Now, God gave King Nebuchadnezzar a dream of a beautiful tree that was cut down to a mere stump. And this dream that God gave King Nebuchadnezzar was actually a warning of his coming forced humbling. That tree was Nebuchadnezzar himself. And God made King Nebuchadnezzar's home not the temple of the palaces, but God made his home with the beasts of the field. And his food was grass, like the oxen. And this happened for 7 years. God gave King Nebuchadnezzar this experience in order to teach him how to humble himself before God. One of the most important lessons we should learn is how to humble ourselves before God. Humility is the mother of all Christian virtues. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar finally learned that humility. He learned that humility before God. And he learned that it was the beginning of his wisdom and strength. My friends and brethren, let us not make the same mistake as King Nebuchadnezzar. Another scripture, this time from Jesus in a parable. We know this as the parable of the good fruit. This is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereof by their fruits you shall know them." My friends and brethren, Jesus tells us that there are good trees and bad trees. And he was telling us that there are good people and bad people. Good trees produce good fruit, and bad trees produce evil fruit. King Nebuchadnezzar, as he was lifted up in his pride, was a bad tree, and he was cut down because of his pride. His life was destroyed for 7 years in order for him to learn the lesson of humility and obedience before God. Now, while we do not have a record of it in the scriptures, no doubt King Nebuchadnezzar's family and the people of his kingdom suffered during his 7 years of punishment. I believe that King Nebuchadnezzar received what King David called the cup of judgment, the cup of God's judgment. And we can read about this in Psalm chapter 75, verse 8. Psalm 75, verse 8, it's really powerful scripture. It says, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof. All the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. My friends, this cup that King David is speaking about, that's God's righteous judgment for sin. It's God's cocktail of experiences which he uses to test and develop his people. Now, we didn't read the scripture in Daniel, but there were actually 12 months between Daniel's interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the time that the cup of God's judgment was actually delivered to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months between the dream and the experience. Now, perhaps Nebuchadnezzar's punishment would have been lessened or even deleted if he changed course during that 12 months. So what's the lesson that we may learn? Do we see the gentle leadings that God provides, maybe in the reading of the scriptures, maybe in the hearing of the message from these services today? Do we see the gentle leadings that God provides us in the scriptures, in our studies, in our life experiences? Are we sensitive enough to change our course if God is asking us to do that? Or do we ignore God's gentle leadings? Do we ignore God's gentle leadings in the scriptures? Maybe because we don't read them. Maybe because we don't know them. Do we ever ignore God's gentle leadings? And then do we receive that cup of judgment? If we do not discern the will of God and follow it, perhaps we too will drink of that same cup that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar. So with this scriptural guide, we would like to learn some lessons from the tree. The tree can teach us how to build a godly life. The tree can provide a strong foundation of a godly life for our children, as well as our spiritual children whom we influence. So often, we as Bible students, we use doctrine as the final measure of approval for our elders. And while doctrine is important, the tree teaches us that it is the application of doctrine that provides strength and the fruitfulness of a godly life for the leader of the home and their family. Now, King Solomon gave us some wonderful advice. And as we all know, King Solomon is an object lesson in success and failure. And he gave us advice out of both his success and his failure. And he seems to point us to this tree of life in what we seek, in what we do, and in what we say with our words. So here's a scripture where the King Solomon tells us about this tree of life in what we seek. Now see if you can find the tree of life in the scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. And this is what King Solomon tells us. He says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not compared unto her. Length of days is in her hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." My friends, King Solomon gives us advice. He points us to the tree of life in what we seek. In what we do, we find this in Proverbs 11, 28 through 30. "He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Here, King Solomon emphasizes that we build our tree based upon what we do. And then he tells us in this next verse that we build this tree of life in what we say. Proverbs 15, verses 2 through 4. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Did you see that? King Solomon says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Wow. That's how we provide fruit. It's the fruit of our lips. It's the sacrifice of praise. It's the help and the encouragement that Brother Tom was talking about. Now, I remember there was a question brought up during the intermission. I think it was Brother Brent. And he talked about, he asked the question, is there a proper and goodly fear of the Lord? And we're not going to list these scriptures right now, but we find them in on 14 separate occasions in Proverbs that King Solomon teaches us to live in the fear of the Lord, and that's simply in the reverence of the Lord. And what he does is he teaches us that living in humility before God will be a tree of life in our life. And this is what King Nebuchadnezzar finally learned. Well, I have an infographic to share, and let's see if I can do it and not miss all of my notes. I'm assuming that you can see the infographic on the screen. Brother Nathan, if you cannot see that, please. Okay, terrific.
Yes, we can see.
Okay, terrific. Well, this is the infographic that I prepared for my service. And my objective behind all of my infographics for my discourses is that you can blink the major points of my discourse. So here we have Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 on the left hand. We already read it. We have the tree of life. We have roots that go underground. We're going to share some of these concepts. We have a river under the ground that feeds the roots. We have wind. We have sun. We have rain. We have a beautiful tree with a wonderful branch system and then very healthy leaves. So let's continue our discussion. We believe that this tree in the scriptures as a template for living in the fear of the Lord. I'd like to read a scripture. It's in Isaiah 55 verses 1 and 2. And it talks about this river that's in the root system. The idea that both Jesus and God provided in the story of the parable of the good and bad fruit with Jesus and in the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar is that the tree is us. We are the tree. The house that we build in our life is the tree. The temple that we build to the Lord is our tree. And this is God's invitation to come and drink from his truth. We find it in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness." My friends, this is the Old Testament call to consecration. This is God's call to consecration. He's asking you to put away the desires for the ephemeral things of this world. And he's saying, come to me if you're thirsty. And we should answer this call to satisfy our thirst. So if we plant our tree, the location should be by the rivers of water. That's what our theme scripture says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. My friends, that's the thirst that we have for the Word of God. That's the thirst that we have for the revelation of the Word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When we plant our tree by the rivers of water, we begin our life with obedience by putting the tree where God wants us to be. And if we are going to live a life of obedience to God, the Ten Commandments are a great place to start. What I've learned in my life is that our anchor of faith must be an intentional, sanctified, sacred desire to follow the trail of thirst for God. And this tree of this metaphor for building a godly life, it doesn't really work unless we are in a covenant relationship with God. So let's take a look at these roots. We took a look at the rivers of water from Psalm chapter 1:1-3, also Isaiah 55. Let's take a look at the root system. I believe that the roots are the foundation of our faith. It says, Matthew 7:24-27, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which builds his house upon a rock. Wow. Did you know that that house is the same word that's used for abode in John 14? Remember when John 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's the same Greek word as is used in Matthew 7. Do you remember later in that chapter when it talks about the abode, that our abode will be with God? That's the same word. This house in Matthew 7, let's continue, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. My friends, sand is simply crushed rock. Now, the world has a foundation that they'd like to offer you, but in reality, it's just sand. And we need to have discerning hearts that we don't follow the ways of the world. This scripture teaches us that your house is your family. Make sure that you build your house upon the rock of truth and nourish it with the Word of God. The storms in this parable are like the cup of God's righteous judgment for sin. Have you ever felt that cup? I have. Have you taken heed to the Word of God in your life? It's very important to do. The apostle, or actually the Saul of Tarsus, experienced this cup of God's righteous judgment for sin on the road to Damascus. He was knocked off his horse. And God has that ability also. If that ever happens, by the way, it's a positive sign, because the scripture says that whom God loveth, he correcteth. Now, let's take a look at the trunk and the branches. I think that the trunk and the branches of this tree are literally our transformation using the graces of the Spirit. So we see the water, which is provided by God. We see the root system, which is our desire, our inward desire and our secret life to thirst after God and his word. But this trunk is above ground. This trunk is in our private life. This trunk is what's going to support the tree of our family in our home. And I believe that the trunk represents our transformation by the graces of the Spirit. And this transformation that the Apostle Paul talks about be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This transformation happens through obedience to God, as we are nurtured by God through prayer. One of the important things that we should pray for and actually take is the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation, Brother Benjamin Stein gave me a comment once that I really appreciated. If we put on this helmet of salvation, it protects our mind from the adversary. And we should claim that in prayer. It strengthens our mind's defenses against that evil one. I think the trunk and the branches represent the graces of the Spirit. It's the roadmap for our transformation. It's the important strength that we will provide for our families. Our children rise up and call us blessed, not because we're smart, not because we have a big bank account, not because we have a fancy car. What does Proverbs 31 say? Our children will rise up and call us blessed because of our integrity, by our desire to know and please God, and by our ability to be sanctified under his loving hand. Now take a look at, listen to these words of the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. These are the list of the graces of the Spirit, and see if you can find a transition, a theme in these graces of the Spirit. Because if these graces of the Spirit represent the call for transformation that the Apostle Paul calls for in Romans chapter 12, then they represent a really important list for us to follow. This is what Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Do you see faith is the foundation? And on top of that faith, then we add virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, agape love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that fruitfulness is an important thing for your family. That's what they follow. They follow that root system that you have sunk underground to go after that water of thirst from God. Verse 3 in this chapter tells us that we've been given divine power, and we've basically been given everything we need to be transformed. And in this progression of the graces of the Spirit, we see a progression from belief with our mind to practice with our hands and our feet, and then to love, both brotherly kindness and agape love, charity. And I think our transformation is how we get from belief, which is, I think, the milk of the Word of God, to love. And that's the meat of the Word of God. And if we practice the graces of the Spirit that take us from mere belief to love and brotherly kindness, we will have strong families based upon our diligence in this work of transformation. And if we do that, we will have strong tree trunk and branches for that tree. And now Nebuchadnezzar, he should have been diligent in his transformation when he was given the interpretation of his dream. So let's take a look at the leaves on this tree. I think the leaves are the fruit. There's the fruit of the tree. And I think that we can see in this that the leaves are really the fruit of the Spirit, that are a result of the work that we do of transformation. I don't think the fruit of the Spirit is something that we can seek. I think the fruit of the Spirit is something that happens naturally in us as we follow the transformation work that the Apostle Paul calls us to do. The underground roots of our tree represent our secret life. And that is our life that is known only between us and God. But I believe that the leaves of our tree represent our Christian fruit. The health of our leaves is the proof of what is in our heart. And this is the indicator that Jesus gave us to help us discern the integrity of our work and of developing the graces of the Spirit. Do we see bad fruit in us? Do we see bad fruit? Do others see bad fruit in us? Well, that means that we have to do a little more work in the transformation of the graces of the Spirit. Brethren, regarding the fruit of the Spirit, we can find this in Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 25. And this is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. My friends, we bear Christian fruit with our words and with the sword of faith to teach and protect our spiritual mind. Now, there's an above ground feeding, and this happens in our public life. We are meeting together in our public life on this Zoom convention. And we are being fed by the discourses and the comments of the brethren. It's an above ground feeding. And this happens in our public life. It happens from the sun. It happens from the wind. It happens from the rain. The wind is our testing and blessing in our public life. I really appreciate the words and songs of Solomon 4:16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, and let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. I think the north winds are the blessings from God, or the difficulty experiences that we have. Maybe the south winds are the warm winds or the refreshments from God. And these happen in our public life. And people can see us being tested. My children and wife have seen me tested many times in my life. And the strength of the tree in my home is based upon what they see in my public life, but is directly correlated to the root system and my thirst for the knowledge of God, the branches and trunk of my tree as I try to transform into the graces using the power of the graces of the Spirit, the divine power that we've been given. But I think that this below ground root system is where we do our feeding also, and it happens in our secret life. We're nourished from the soil in our secret life, and we're fed by the water from the river of God's word. If we meditate on it, if we thirst for it, and if we do it. Now, I like to listen to TED Talks. And one day I was listening to a TED talk, and it talked about how trees nurture each other. And this woman named Suzanne Simard, she actually lives and did a lot of her work in British Columbia, Canada. And she studied trees, and she studied the tree networks for several, actually 40 years. And through her research, she developed a groundbreaking discovery that just blew my mind. And what she discovered was that trees communicate with each other through what she calls mycorrhizal networks underground. And basically like a big network, a fishnet underground of mycorrhizal. It's a very complicated network. And in every forest, there's a mother tree that sends nutrients to the little trees, or especially to her saplings. And this is a quote right from the TED Talk. Mother trees colonize their kin with bigger mycorrhizal networks. They send them more carbon below ground. They even reduce their own root competition to make elbow room for their kids. Wow, what a great metaphor for how we raise our children. When mother trees are injured or dying, they also send messages of wisdom on to the next generation of seedlings. So my friends, she just wrote a great book called Finding the Mother Tree. I just picked it up for my wife, Marilyn. I'm looking forward to her feedback. But just as trees nurture other trees through underground networks, we nourish other people from the divine power that we have used to develop in our secret lives. Now I will stop sharing this infographic. And I would like to conclude my services with this. Brethren, in our self-centered world, the popular need for excitement is equivalent to the biblical lust of the flesh. This need for excitement is contrary to our consecration to God. And self-control and delighting in the law of the Lord is the Christian antidote for the poison of the lust of the flesh. Consecration gives our life purpose. It is everything to live for and everything to die for, as my Uncle Gene Burns said. And there is no higher ideal than to give our lives to our Heavenly Father and to do His will. Jesus taught us this by His own supreme example of building His own tree of His life. And we have a strong position in the family of God because of Jesus' sacrifice and because we have answered His call of consecration. Let us not be like King Nebuchadnezzar and be overcome by the lust of our flesh and this world's unending desire for excitement. One more lesson from the soon-to-be Apostle Andrew, as he began building his own tree of his life and sharing it with his brother Peter. We go to John chapter 1, verse 40 and through 42. And this is what it says. One of the two which heard John the Baptist speak and follow him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Do you see that network growing where Andrew went first to his brother? Brethren, let us keep coming to the feet of Jesus like Andrew. Let us bring our family to the feet of Jesus. Let us bring our friends to the feet of Jesus, our neighbors. And if we do the work of transformation with the roadmap of the graces of the Spirit, all of these people will enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. Let us make sure that we get our identity from obeying and serving our Heavenly Father. Now, if today we are getting our identity from our job, we are in grave danger of being distracted like King Nebuchadnezzar. So let us be sure to come to the feet of Jesus for everything, and we will find happiness there. May God add His blessings.